Moss is strong here, even stronger than the coffee.
This is the podcast you're looking for.
Coffee with Kenobi presents Rebels Reactions with Dancy and Corey Club.
You are far better than mine, Kenobi. Take it away.
Hello and welcome to Coffee with Kenobi Presents Rebels Reactions, where we analyze Star Wars Rebels through a critical lens. Corey and I will review, discuss, and analyze the new animated series Star Wars Rebels and share our reflections with our listeners. On today's show, we are proud to introduce Craig Dickinson as the newest member of our Coffee with Kenobi family. Craig will be reviewing Star Wars Rebels for our website, and we are fortunate to have him. He joined us on show number 9 of Coffee with Kenobi and has been a guest on the Star Wars Kids Cast. Craig is joining us in Rebels Reactions today to look at Kanan, Ezra, the news from the New York Toy Fair, and new trailers that recently premiered. Welcome back, Craig.
Yeah, good to be here, guys. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Thanks for jumping on short notice. You've already had some really intriguing things going on Twitter with some of your theories. So considering that, as well as the fact that you're going to be reviewing Rebels for us on coffeewithkenobi.com. Actually, Corey was the first one who suggested it. We didn't know when we were going to record this, so it worked out beautifully.
Yeah, I can't wait to dive in.
All right, so let's just go into it right now. There's basically four major things that happened. Let's just start in chronological order. Kanan, what was your first reaction to Kanan?
Well, I saw the picture. I didn't see the video. So the picture was kind of, my first thought was, okay, it's the same animated style as they're going to do as Clone Wars. So I was kind of excited about that because that was really sleek and really good looking. So it kind of gave us a status of how the animated series is going to be kind of drawn. So that was cool. He himself, he looked kind of like a Padawan, kind of with a short ponytail. But then he's older, so obviously he's got some training under his belt. I like his outfit; it looks cool. It looks streamlined. The little armor is kind of a throwback to the Clone Wars a little bit. He does carry a lightsaber, but he chooses to keep that part of him secret. I think that's cool too. Kind of makes him mysterious.
Yeah, he keeps it under lock and key, which I think that video of him was the most impressive of everything we saw all last week that was Rebels related. There's a lot that can go on psychologically with what he's dealt with, especially since he survived Order 66, which was, 14 years before this TV show?
Yeah, I think that's cool.
So we've got psychologically, we've got kind of a Batman thing going on here, don't we?
Ah, yeah, good point.
Because he's seen everyone that he's cared about killed or witnessed that he's been on the run, and now he has to hide who he is. And what do we, Craig? What do you think about when Dave Filoni comes on and says he's the cowboy Jedi?
Yeah, you know, I think of almost every picture I've ever seen of Dave Filoni or video where he's wearing a cowboy hat. I just thought, guy after his own heart.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
That's really what I thought of. You know what, Corey, the thing that you mentioned about the ponytail, that's really interesting. It just jumped in my mind. With the timeline being 14 years after Order 66, you know, I wonder if there's some significance to the ponytail. Maybe it is his Padawan ponytail that he's kept and he never got rid of it as some kind of connection to the Jedi Order, maybe. I mean,
that's
who knows?
Cool.
There's so much symbolism that's intentional and sometimes it's not, but.
Sure.
You know, it just makes you wonder. You've seen that ponytail very specifically on Padawans. Is that some kind of connection?
And Dave Filoni did say in the video that the robes are gone, but he's still got the armor and the holster. But he's also got a samurai-like ponytail, which, of course, harkens back to the designs of Sir Alec Guinness and Invader's original armor and things like that. So, but there is – I never thought about the fact that it's just his – I mean, I thought, oh, that's like the Padawan braid, but then I just sort of let it go there. But yeah, it could be something he just kind of let fill out, which is an interesting – talk about hiding in plain sight. Maybe not the best idea, but he strikes me already, and I can't believe I'd normally say anything like this, but I think he's already one of my favorite characters in all of Star Wars. He just has that vibe.
Really?
That jumps out.
Now, see, to me, he's kind of like a cross between like a suave, kind of take charge, kind of guy like a Han Solo type, but yet he's got this – spiritual side to him that's kind of Jedi-like, but he doesn't really always bring that out unless he has to kind of like rein himself in a little bit.
Well, yeah, he can't, or Inquisitor and everybody's going to hunt him down.
Yeah, he's kind of a best of both worlds, isn't he? I mean, he is a pilot and he's a Jedi, so it's kind of like
it's cool.
you know, the Han Solo archetype and then the Jedi Skywalker vibe, you know, also kind of mixed together. So there's definitely some familiarities that they're leaning, you know, they're pointing you back to. So,
I mean, it does seem like the Han Solo comparisons are already jumping out. And I find that intriguing, but I also find it a little premature because we know nothing about him besides a couple of images.
True.
And seeing some recordings by Freddie Prinze Jr. So it, I guess they could maybe go for, like you both said, a hybrid of Han and Luke, or maybe he's his own character. I mean, there are certain professors who will tell you that there are only five or six different stories out there and there are only about seven or eight different types of characters. But I have a feeling that because of who is behind this, that we're going to see something unique that we haven't seen before.
Yeah, I think too. This is a nice pickup point for us to see kind of what happened, you know, pre the original trilogy, and kind of see kind of everything, maybe kind of how it started and how these people are getting over Order 66, and just is interesting because this is the time period we all love. So I'm excited to get back into it.
The Rebels thing is perfect. I mean, look at the Revolutionary War. If you knew that you were a Tory or which side you were on, you know, were you for the British or you're for the colonials, you could be killed for your beliefs. So he literally can be killed if someone finds out he's a Jedi.
Yeah.
And it's going to be unceremonious and frightening because they're constantly being hunted down like they're animals. So the psychologically what he's going to have to go through, it doesn't seem like he's going to hide being a Jedi for long, considering that the New York Toy Fair, they're selling his lightsaber. Yeah. Or they're going to sell his lightsaber, yeah. Which, P.S., if they make a hilt of, I will probably buy. But I don't know. Do you, Corey, I didn't hear what you said, but do you think he's already one of the coolest ones as well?
Yeah, he's pretty cool. I think he's a good character to start with when they're, you know, they're kind of debuting this series, because he seems like a strong personality, a strong character leader. Yeah, basically. So it's a nice character to start with and be able to introduce to.
Well, and Filoni's exact quote was, he's a gunslinger that needs to put the gun away and pick up the sword again and fight for noble causes and selfless causes. But what will happen when he chooses to reignite his Jedi weapon, fighting once again for a greater purpose? So I don't know how long they're going to draw out his man versus self arc, but there's certainly so much potential. And I agree with you. I'm glad that they picked him as the first human face, because I think if they introduce Ezra first, you probably hear a lot of people maybe showing a little bit of concern. Flash forward backwards to when the original trailer showed out, it was just the Star Destroyer and Crush from Finding Nemo was the narrator. And, you know, I think if they showed Ezra right after that as the first thing, I think there would have been more concern and trepidation. But let's just go ahead and talk about Ezra now. What was your reactions to him?
For me, Ezra, let's see. He seemed like a very common character to me. He's got that similar archetype as like, let's appeal to the base of your target market, you know, this character. But then they kind of went into the background of him and how he's kind of force sensitive and things like that, and his connection to Kanan and how they're kind of like the thrust into this rebellion together. And that was like, oh, that's kind of cool. They're kind of like brotherly figures. So we kind of have the Obi-Wan and Anakin brotherhood kind of throwing them back into that, maybe a younger version of each other. But it's interesting to see their relationship. So I think that kind of heightened it for me.
Yeah, and I think that what we're probably seeing is the character who will kind of identify, or the audience will identify with the most.
Yeah.
It's probably one that everything will have to be explained to him and therefore to us. You know, you'll probably get what actually happened to the Jedi. Maybe you'll get Kanan's backstory told to him as part of his Jedi training. But it is interesting that you've already got, you know, two Force-sensitive characters in this, you know, this dark time where they're not really supposed to be any Jedi. So I'm really curious as to how they're going to handle these characters. Are they going to kill them off? Are we going to see them go into hiding even deeper? And where does that line up, you know, with the bumping up into Episode 4 territory?
Right. Yeah. There's already the Ahsoka Tano panic.
Exactly.
Among some fans, as far as, you know, what's going to happen to these guys. Well, we don't know. I mean, we know that Vader helped the Empire hunt down and destroy the Jedi Knights. We know, or we assume that we know, we've certainly thought it for almost, you know, years and years and years. I'm an English teacher, not a math teacher, so it's escaped me. But ever since 1977, you know, we thought that Obi-Wan Kenobi and Yoda were the only Jedi left until Luke came into his own. So I don't know. I agree, Corey, with what you're saying about he does sort of fall into those archetypes. I mean, clearly when you see Ezra, you think, okay, this is Disney XD. It's sort of like the, again, we keep referencing Batman for some reason, but it's almost like he's the Robin of the series. We see things through his eyes. He draws in the younger crowd. I mean, Disney's not foolish. They know they need to attract a younger male audience to sell toys and action figures, and that's smart. I mean, it certainly worked on all of us, and we're still here talking about Star Wars. And I think it's cool that he's Force-sensitive, but he doesn't know that he's Force-sensitive. He just thinks he's got these cool new powers. He can tap into them. Filoni actually says they're instinctive and reactionary, and Kanan's the guy who's going to help him to sort of see his path, which is going to – it's going to be probably Kanan's redemption through Ezra as well. He's voiced by Taylor Gray, who I had not heard of before this, although Coffee with Kenobi is now following him on Twitter. So,
good call.
Corey, what do you think he's going to be? Somebody cool? Do you think he's going to be a fan? Is he like the female Ahsoka?
Huh. It's interesting you say that, because my first idea, he gave me kind of an Episode One vibe where we first met Anakin as a kid, and he's kind of like this, oh man, we're going to follow on this kid, you know, but he seems like he's kind of a mirror image a little bit of Anakin, so we can relate from the Episode One era, and he's young, and he's kind of like, he's kind of good with mechanical things, he kind of scavenges stuff, he's kind of comes from maybe a poor background, he needs to be kind of scooped up by these rebels to kind of be able to bring him to maturity, if you will. So that's interesting too. But as far as the Ahsoka character, that's a hard call. So I don't know.
Yeah, when Ahsoka first came out, and she said she was calling, you know, Anakin Sky Guy and all this kind of stuff, I thought, oh dear. But I always thought Ahsoka was cool, even despite those little catchphrases and names. I think that Ezra's going to be somebody that people are going to be drawn to. He might be a little bit tougher sell for me at first, but then again, you know, I'm 41 years old, and I'm more drawn to people that are more my age, again, which is why I'm sure Ezra's there. And Craig, one of the main reasons that we had you on tonight is that you have this interesting theory already about the biblical references here. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, you know, my first exposure to Kanan was I just saw his name in print. I think it was on Twitter, and I thought, well, that's interesting. I wonder if that's pronounced, if it is pronounced. I watched the video and saw, yeah, it's Kanan. I thought, well, okay, that already, that's kind of a weird coincidence. It's spelled differently, but, you know, that happens in Star Wars all the time. And then there's the second character, Ezra. I'm like, well, that's a book of the Bible. That's interesting. And then even this, you know, kind of the proto-Chewbacca character, you know, based on Ralph's, McQuarrie's earlier designs, his name's Zeb. I'm like, that could be Zebediah, Zebedee.
Mm-hmm.
It's three very biblical sounding names, you know, and we don't, the names are not unintentional in Star Wars. Nothing's random.
No.
Everything means something, and it's either like directly lifted or slightly modified, it seems, when you go back and look at stuff. And so, and then we looked at that trailer today and saw Ezra with the slingshot looking thing, and you've got all of these images that it's harkening back to, and it just really makes you wonder who's, I mean, obviously it's all coming from George, but you know, what is the thing they're really trying to tap into here? You know, you talked about the Revolutionary War. Is this, what other things do we got going on? Is this pre-entering the Promised Land? What are we, you know, after wandering for 40 years, is there, you know, what's the symbolism that we're gonna touch on?
Also, exactly. Also, Craig, you made me think of this too. It's like, you know, you think of the, you know, Old Testament, and if anybody's versed in that, there's a prophecy of quote unquote a chosen one or a savior. You know, so you think about that. You think about the chosen one, and obviously we look at, you know, Luke.
Yeah.
And that I'm gonna assume they're gonna talk about that as part of the series. I mean, I don't know what this standpoint, but I'd be interested to see what they do with it. That's very fascinating.
Yeah, I'm really hoping that they touch on that. You know, will they talk about the fall of Anakin? Will they talk about Anakin being killed, as we, you know, we're led to believe in the expanded universe? That's what everybody believes. You know, obviously they won't know that he's Darth Vader, but will they touch on that? Will they talk about the prophecy of the Chosen One? So,
yeah, I wonder if that will come up sort of in like in hushes and whisperers and like sort of like an urban myth sort of a thing.
Sure.
Yeah.
I think they're interesting too, but I definitely agree there are no accidents when it comes to names and naming. And the allegory here just screams at you. It's pretty exciting. I'm happy that they're doing that. And I never thought about Zeb. Zeb and there's a female Mando, mm-hmm. and both of them were not officially pronounced or announced yet through Lucasfilm. In fact, Matt Martin, the guy who's in charge of all the digital things for Star Wars and Lucasfilm, he said there's already a character from Rebels, which I'm not supposed to talk about, who's following me on Twitter. I love Star Wars fans, which I found pretty entertaining and true. So, and that was all again revealed through the New York Toy Fair. But before we get to that, two teasers were announced, and we were fortunate enough that Tracy Canobio sent us a link to this and told us it was going to be released during the day. So we got to see it along with everybody else. And we had two teasers. We had Ignite and we had Spark. They were both 30 seconds long. Ignite was sort of the intro one. It showed the ghost being fired upon by a TIE fighter as they're jumping out of this crashed TIE fighter with a trooper helmet, which appears to be Ezra's thing, collecting stormtrooper helmets.
Yeah.
It shows the Star Wars final beginning. Then we have Spark, which shows the cracked TIE cockpit, and it's kind of looking through the lens of that, which is pretty symbolic in its own way, too, because you're looking at this fractured way of viewing the world through the eyes of the Empire. And then you've got Ezra shooting a slingshot, which Trisha Barr immediately jumped on and talked about the references to. It looks like there are similarities to the Hunger Games. Now, before we even talk about that, the new logo that appears in the Spark trailer, that is like an early version of the Rebel logo. It almost looks like the Firefox logo or something like that. It's very, very cool. I am not a person who's going to get a tattoo, but if I did, right away, that is a really cool image.
Well, when I first saw that, I don't mean to jump in, but it reminded me of a phoenix, a rising phoenix.
Yes, absolutely, so, which is something I like as well.
Another thought on the slingshot point of view, like you said, Craig, tied into biblical themes, it's like David and Goliath.
You got it.
So I just immediately thought of that. So that was pretty cool. Yep.
The underdog slashing out at the mighty empire, the tough guy. Absolutely. In fact, we tweeted about that a lot today too, because these biblical references are coming fast and furious.
Well, we've only got 30 seconds of each different teaser, and we've already grasped numerous types of
we're able to surmise a lot of theories,
yeah.
Of story and character and motivation, just through the little things that they've hinted to us. And I think it's too early to judge the animation. I've seen some people are sort of looking at the animation. Oh, there's not a lot of gestures and facial features in the characters, but it's too early to know. We saw a trailer. I did see that they're halfway through recording the dialogue for the first half of season one. But the animation isn't all done yet. And look at how much Clone Wars evolved over time, too. I have nothing but incredible optimism and hope. It looks like it's got incredible potential. And it looks like they really know what they're doing, which is no surprise considering Dave Filoni is driving the ghost here for us.
Yeah, very good. Speaking of the ghost, I will say that this whole thing, everything that I've seen so far, it does scream the original trilogy to me. I don't feel like it's being using that as just a ripoff, if you want to call it that.
Yeah, I agree.
But I think when they had I think it was the Ignite trailer at the end there, they're flying the ghosts and it looks like the two pilots were turning their chairs and they hit the light speed and. Definitely, it was definitely Millennium Falcon for me. A moment.
Yeah, it's very Millennium Falcon-esque.
And it was recently pointed out on Full of Sith that. In the prequel trilogy, there's no starfields for going to light speed.
Nope.
Oh, very
so
good.
That's wild. So we already have that back. We already have that back in the Rebels timeline. And that scene, it looks like there's a green Twi'lek, which again we know from New York Toy Fair,
yeah.
and another character that are in the cockpit at the end, and they jump to light speed. So there's some promise there. We're talking a lot about the New York Toy Fair, and for those of you who maybe don't know, but Twitter exploded over the weekend, as it's apt to do when there's Star Wars news, where there are a lot of images of a lot of new figures and the Black Series. But for the purposes of Rebels Reactions, what did you think of the merchandise that we saw that's already being prepared for Star Wars Rebels?
I think it's great. I'm very excited about it.
Well, we know great merchandise always comes out of Star Wars.
Yeah.
And even now...
Just look in my attic.
Exactly. I mean, even now, I mean, Legos is so big now, and now they've already got Legos out for this series. I mean, it's just taken off, where not only is it, like, really cool stuff, but it's, like, unique. So it's, there's, like, they had, like, I mean, I know I saw some things, like you said, the lightsabers and stuff like that, which were interesting, as far as even the other action figures and stuff looked really great, too. But again, I kind of drew closer to the Legos. They look really cool, and it's just really a nice way to have the characters.
Well, I don't know if you guys saw, but Freddie Prinze Jr. came out with some of the 501st, and he had the Lego Ghost with him.
Yeah,
to show her, and I think it said that the price of the Ghost is $79.99.
Whoa! Okay.
Yes, exactly.
We'll start saving my pennies. Yeah.
Yeah. When the Ghost first was presented the image, I thought, oh, okay. And in fact, it's even on one of our older shows. But seeing it again and again, and seeing these incredible images of these TIE fighters, that's the main thing that jumped out to me for the New York Toy Fair. Showing it looks very much like a 3D cartoon came out of the TV screen and into the toy package, because they're selling those toys. It looks like the Inquisitor is going to have an earlier version of Darth Vader's TIE Interceptor.
Yep.
Where the solar panels are a little bit, they're not quite as angled in, but they're getting close. And I don't even know why I'm talking about this. I've got an excellent designer who's my co-host. But did you see that? Did you see that image?
Yeah, I did see that. And like you said, yeah, it does kind of play off of the Vader's Inceptor.
Did you like it?
Yeah, it looks cool. I think it looked great. So yeah, I'm excited to see it.
I'm so buying that. In fact, that's one I'm probably going to open, which is a big deal.
Oh, very good.
Craig, which ones did you instantly gravitate towards that you saw?
Well, I liked the Interceptor as well. I thought that was pretty slick. It was kind of interesting just to see how it was very much reminiscent of Vader's, but not quite to that degree. It's kind of like he's a step below Vader. I mean, obviously the timeline is part of that too, I'm sure, design-wise. But, right. You know, it's very much putting him, you know, he's... And I'm still very curious to find, is this guy a Sith? Is he just a, you know, dark side?
Like Grievous?
Exactly is his angle and his role in this? So I'm really hoping that they touch on that.
No, oh, absolutely. He'll be a mystery guy. The first image of Kanan on our website that we were sent, and that's been everywhere, was Kanan with his head over his shoulder and just this the Inquisitor's hand holding that blade, which they are also sold, or they're showing previews of it, Toy Fair. So that looks pretty cool too. So I picture all of us. We all have young kids. They'll be running around the house with these cool-looking lightsabers, no doubt. The sculpt for the action figures themselves, Craig, do you buy the action figures?
I have from time to time when I have the money for it.
Sure.
But they look great. They look great. You know, they really do look like a great representation of what I've seen in the animation too. So I'm pretty excited about that.
They do. They look really, really sharp. They look, again, just like, I think when you're looking at action figures from the animated series, I'm reminded of the first Clone Wars animated series, not the Filoni one, but they had action figures for those, and they looked very much like they were drawn and turned magically into action figures and jumped right off the screen. So it looks like we're going to get a lot of that with Rebels. Hopefully the prototype that was displayed will be very similar to what we actually get to see in stores. There are also a number of coloring books and sticker books and all kinds of things. I'm sure there's even things that I haven't even seen yet, but Jedi News UK has an excellent gallery of all those kind of things as well. So guys, Rebels Reactions is a show that we're really excited about doing. We're going to be reviewing and looking at Rebels as it comes out here in August. We're very, very excited about it. Any closing thoughts or things you want to leave the listeners with?
I'll just say that I'm excited to see the rest of the crew of the Ghost Ship, and I think they're doing a great job of just giving us information and giving us teasers and stuff like that. I feel like I've satisfied with what they've given us so far, and I'm excited to see what's up next.
Yeah, you know, the more I watch it, the more I'm reminded of original trilogy, and the more I want to watch the original trilogy. And I know that's got to be part of it too, gearing up for Episode 7. That they're driving that whole package forward. And it's just brilliant. You know, you're basically hitting on all cylinders. You're bridging those two trilogies together, and also just looking ahead to Episode 7 in 2015. So I'm very excited.
Absolutely. And Pablo was interacting on Twitter with everybody, as he does, and he says, part of what allowed the show to wade into the origins of Stormtroopers and the Rebellion is things that George himself had figured out and designed. So we know that George Lucas's ideas are still behind this. It'll be really interesting to see as time goes on how much he had to do with the input of these characters and their designs, their names, or if he had anything to do with them. I would like to think, maybe this is just me being naive, that he still peeks his head in once in a while or calls or texts Dave and says, hey, I this is what I think. Or does anybody have any questions, or people call and ask him? Because that, to me, George Lucas and Star Wars are inseparable.
You know, I was just reminded of the that great quote Brian Young said once, maybe more than once, was just that Star Wars is whatever George Lucas says it is. And I absolutely believe that. So it's nice to think that he's involved as much as possible.
Absolutely. There's so much, again, so much potential. We talk about it all the time. We're looking forward to doing our Rebels reaction shows and bringing everybody some different ways of looking at Rebels and getting new insights from all of our listeners, because we are constantly learning and growing from each other in our discussions, and Craig is a big part of that, and Corey and I were really happy to have you on Rebels Reactions tonight with us, Craig.
Yeah, it was a blast. Can't wait for the next one.
More to add, do you?
Since we recorded this episode of Rebels Reactions, Lucasfilm has officially introduced another character into the Star Wars Rebels pantheon, and his name is Zeb. What were your first reactions, Corey, to meeting Zeb?
What's fascinating to me is that he's a brand new alien species, something we haven't seen yet. It's pretty cool. I mean, the other thing too is he looks like a Macquarie-drawn character that we could see in production art or something like that.
He's like what Chewbacca was originally going to look like.
Yeah. So I think that's really cool. They're really harkening back to that and really stayed true to that. So I think that's really neat.
It is cool. And my favorite thing about him was the image of him like holding his fist into the palm of his hand, and seeing all these stormtroopers laying on the ground like he just went through and basically cleaned house in one of the Imperial cruisers or something like that.
He's a brawler, man.
Yeah, he is. But they also made a huge deal about the fact that he's intelligent and he's not a bruiser. And when you watch the video, which we have on our website right now, thanks again to Lucasfilm for sending the official releases to us. But when you watch the video, his voice is awesome. So he's voiced by Steve Bloom, who's a veteran of voice acting. And to be honest, I'm not necessarily going to say that I'm cynical, because I'm certainly not. But when I saw him interacting with Ezra in some of the clips we saw through this character reveal video, I grew a little bit like, here we go with the stereotypes. And I'm not going to say archetypes, but it's almost like the grumpy big guy. And, you know, he's got this little kid who is drawn to him and he doesn't really like him. But then he wins him over, and they're the best of buds. And it's impossible to know for sure because it was just little segment and clips. But I hope that they don't fall into these stereotypes, and he really has his own unique arc.
Yeah, he was kick and chopper, and he was kind of grumbly, and sounds like he's like crabby and just want to get the job done. And but they also said that he's got some brains behind him. He's smart, and he knows to think. And so I wonder if that's the whole emphasis behind it too. He's trying to get Ezra to think first and use his head rather than his
possibly.
Fists. So
and I have all the faith in the world in Dave Filoni and all the great people who are working on Rebels.
Absolutely.
But if these people, you know, like he and Chopper are both so grumpy and stuff like that, to me that's going to wear thin. And if they really don't like each other that much, then why are they going to fly around together on the Ghost? Why don't they just go do their own thing?
Well, I think it's going to be a unique group, kind of a ragtag team of characters. And you know, with anything, they all have their own agendas. They're all kind of spread out, but yet they have to, by the end of the day, they have to work together to get their job done, to be able to, you know, fight the Empire and take it back. So it'll be interesting to see their interactions with each other. So I'm excited.
True. Much potential. Kanan's still my favorite. It's hard to beat that picture of Zeb that we first were given, but it's going to be cool. It's going to be hard to wait till August, that's for sure. Be sure to leave us a review on iTunes and tell us what you think about Rebels Reactions, and be listening for our next episode of Coffee with Kenobi, because this is the podcast you're looking for. If you would like to respond to our question of the show, have a comment, or just want to say hello, send us an email or MP3 at feedback@coffeewithkenobi.com. Or if you have a specific question or comment for either of us individually, email us at danz@coffeewithkenobi.com or Corey C at CoffeeWithKenobi.com, or visit us at CoffeeWithKenobi.com and click on the Contact Us section, or comment on one of the stories featured on the site. If you enjoy the show, please write a review in iTunes. You can also like the show on Facebook at Facebook.com/CoffeeWithKenobi, as well as keep up to date on our Twitter feed at Twitter.com/CoffeeWithKenobi. You can also find us on Tumblr at CoffeeWithKenobi.tumblr.com. If you enjoy the jazz music, download the album Eye to Eye by Steve Torok on iTunes.
I'm listening.
This podcast is not endorsed by the Walt Disney Company or Lucasfilm LTD and is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. The official Star Wars website can be found at StarWars.com. Star Wars, all names and sounds and any other Star Wars related items are registered trademarks and or copyrights of Disney and their respective trademark and copyright holders. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of Coffee with Kenobi unless otherwise indicated.
There's no one here. Move along. Move along.